get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We have Cynthia Spoot coming on in a few minutes. She's actually Dallas' leading lady about knowing what's to do, what's hot, what's going on, and the cool people to hang out with and the places to go. She has a website called ososcynthia.com, and people have been flocking to it to learn everything about Dallas for a long period of time now. But next, right now, we got Jake Busey and the Jake Busey Minute.
An interesting thing growing up in Los Angeles and in the fast lane, some people would say, because we were actually out in the country, way, way out northwest Los Angeles near the beach in the mountains. And I know that sounds strange, but the beach does just go, it goes ocean, beach, highway, mountains, and there's houses in there somewhere. So anyhow, it was a childhood of a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, a lot of craziness in the 80s, and my dad was a pretty successful guy, and I followed in his footsteps, much like a child of the circus. Sometimes people say that I look like my father. I'm an actor. I've done 75 movies, roughly. I got a film out now. Just came out, just to talk about myself a little more. I just happened to turn the page of our local What's Going On in Los Angeles paper called the LA Weekly, and I saw the ad for this movie I did, independent film. I don't know if it's playing anywhere in Texas. I know that it's in LA and New York. It's called Crazy Eyes with Lucas Haas and Madeline Zima. And it's a crazy movie, and it's about drugs and alcohol and sort of a one-month bender that this guy goes on. And, you know, it started to make me think, because I've had people come up and they say, hey, you're Gary Busey's kid, which is true. And it was that way when I was a child and in my teens and when I started my career.
Wow, I love Jake Busey. I love his thoughts. He has got a rhythm and a shine to him. Tonight, we're getting to debut a really great segment. And I think it's a good segment because we as people need to be more powerful. We need to have also more fun. We need to get along. We need to, you know, get along with our fellow neighbors. Have some fun, because life is about fellowship and fun. And life is about getting out there and doing things and trying new things. So tonight, I introduce to you Get Out and About with Cynthia Smoot. Cynthia, are you there?
Hi, I am here.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm great. I've been so into the show tonight that I was so into what you and Yolanda were talking about, I almost forgot to call in. It was a great show.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. I love to hear that.
School starts on Monday for almost everybody around the Metroplex, but that does not mean that you need to pack up your social life. So I wanted to talk to your readers tonight and let you know about a few of the fun things that there are out there to chew and do this week.
Awesome. We're ready.
Well, listen, first of all, I mean, who is not happy that football season has begun? And if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you're going to be able to get up close and get a look at the Dallas Cowboys as they head into a new season by attending the Slow Serve Dallas Cowboys annual kickoff luncheon this Tuesday, August 28th. Brad Sham is the longtime voice of Dallas Cowboys Radio, and he'll be emceeing the event. Several awards will be given out, including the 2012 MVP Awards for Offense and Defense, the Tom Landry Legend Award, which is given to a former Dallas Cowboys player, and the Ed Block Courage Award, given to a player who has sustained a career-threatening injury and is again playing at full strength. It's a great opportunity to get up close and personal with all your favorite Dallas Cowboy players.
That sounds like a really amazing event, actually, especially for Cowboys and football lovers.
Well, listen, it's a great way to not only raise some money for a good charity, but you can, you know, get up close and personal, like I said, meet some of your favorite Cowboy players. The event will start with a silent auction at 10 a.m., and the actual luncheon will start at 11:30. It's at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington. All the proceeds from this luncheon are going to go to benefit the Dallas Cowboys' current cows at Happy Hill Farm Academy. The tickets start at $175 each and can be purchased at happyhillfarm.org.
Sounds like an amazing organization. You know, some people would say they like football, but for some other people, is there anything for those people that like glitz and glam and maybe a little taste of the red carpet?
Absolutely. Listen, if you love beautiful gowns and lots of bling, this next event is for you. So starting August 29th and running through September 12th, shoppers at North Park Center can view a red carpet exhibit from legendary fashion designer Roberto Cavalli. This exhibit will present a retrospective display of archive gowns worn by celebrities over the past 12 years. It's going to showcase 16 dressed mannequins on a red carpet surrounded by a replicated photographer's pit complete with real flash bulbs and sound. So it's really going to give you the idea of what it's truly like to be the center of attention when you're walking the red carpet. Now, some of the garments you can expect to see will include Christina Aguilera's fuchsia feather mini dress worn to the 2001 VH Music Awards, the Ming vase gown, which was worn by Victoria Beckham to the 7th annual White Tie and Tiara Ball in 2005, and the red sequin gown Jane Fonda recently wore to the 2012 Cannes Film Festival. There's going to be other looks that have been worn by celebrities like Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce, Charlize Theron, and Heidi Klum. This exhibit is at North Park Center in between Neiman Marcus and Dillard's, and it's free to the public.
Wow, Cynthia, you know, there seems to be something for everyone. The Cowboys fans, the red carpet, the glam. What about the kids? Is there anything open to open the minds and to help children explore the love for the arts and maybe something to that effect going on in Dallas?
Absolutely. Listen, I am a big believer that you really need to expose your kids to the cultural arts early in life so that they'll develop an appreciation for things like the opera and classical music that they'll carry with them for the rest of their lives. But you have to be smart about how you incorporate these cultural events in, or, you know, your kids are going to tune out. So I'm really excited about an event coming up this week. I don't know if you saw Frozen Planet, but it was a wonderful documentary series narrated by award-winning actor Alec Baldwin that aired earlier this year on the Discovery Channel. The show focused on our Earth's polar regions, and it showed you what life is truly like for the creatures that live in the coldest places on our Earth. Film composer George Fenton is going to be in Dallas this weekend to conduct the newest of his documentary concerts called Frozen Planet, live with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. And it's going to feature stunning music and film imagery, combining live orchestral music from the Dallas Symphony Orchestra with spectacular HD images of the majestic frozen wilderness and extraordinary creatures of the Earth's polar region. So there are two performance dates, Friday, August 31st, and Saturday, September 1st. The concerts will be held at the Morton Meyerson Symphony Center and the Dallas Arts District. Now, the tickets start at just $21. This is really affordable family fun, and you can get your tickets at thedallassymphony.com.
That sounds like an amazing event.
I am super excited about it. And, you know, the great thing is that whether you're looking for events to help foster some quality family time or just looking for a personal escape, there is never any shortage of things to do in Dallas. And to read more about these events and many others, your readers can visit me at osacynthia.com. I've got all the scoop on Dallas's hottest events and coolest people.
You know, Cynthia, tell us a little bit more about your website, osacynthia.
Well, you know, I started it because it's really a love letter to the city of Dallas. I just think that this is an amazing city to live and work and raise a family. And I am fortunate enough that I work in marketing and I get invited to a lot of awesome events. And, you know, I started the blog really because I love photography. I love the creative writing aspect. And so for me, it was really just a way to sort of, talk about my passion that I have for the city and share everything going on with others. So it's been a fun vehicle for me.
I think it's amazing. And for any of our listeners that missed any of this or want to know a million other things that's going on, because Cynthia really has her finger on the pulse of everything going on in Dallas, I'm not kidding you. If you want to find out, you want to go to osocynthia.com and you can read about all this stuff that she talked about as well as all kinds of other stuff. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, and I look forward to being on the show with you every week and bringing listeners all the highlights for the upcoming week. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Cynthia, I can't wait to hear from you next Sunday. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. I thought that was really neat. I think it's great because the whole idea of having fellowship and fun and camaraderie is a big part of enjoying your life. And I think that, you know, there's also all kinds of events that you can take your dog. And I don't know if you want to take your cat, too, but, I mean, you could. And, you know, it's fun times. And I think when you really get out and about and you really get to see, because sometimes life can seem to be kind of a beat down. It can be humdrum. Sometimes things can get to you. But there is fun and there is positive. And Cynthia is really going to help us find some of those neat events. You know, Yolanda and I are still talking about this stuff about animal rights because it's so important. And we also have somebody, actually, Leslie Chapman, joining us on line one. Leslie actually studies in the University of Texas, where she focuses on applied social issues in psychology and criminal justice. And she is also the editor-in-chief of the local lifestyle blog, Pop Goes the City, and is currently serving as chairman on the planning committee for the Silver Dollar at the Ranch event benefiting Speedway Children's Charities. Leslie, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've joined Yolanda, myself, and the rest of the prospective listeners, and we are actually talking. We're going to try to cover two concepts right now. First off, we're going to talk about that link between animal cruelty and child cruelty and abuse. We're going to start with Yolanda. Yolanda, can you give us a little thought on that? And then, Leslie, I want to hear what you have to say on that as well.
Well, historically, people have really felt instinctively that there's a connection between animal cruelty, animal abuse, and human violence. Over the years, the science and the research has borne that out, that it's true. There is still some debate, of course, but I think that the strength in the research shows that there is a link.
What do you think, Leslie?
I totally agree. When you look at why people are cruel to animals and acts of human violence, there are some things that kind of, they share some traits, which could be social and psychological barriers, pleasure-seeking activity sometimes does lead to harm of animals and also harm of humans, and power. Abusers tend to aim their efforts towards the powerless. So you're talking animals, children, the elderly, just for a few examples.
You know, is there any historical examples that we can go back? Maybe, I guess we should ask about some of the things that we've heard that has been more in the press in the past. Were there any, like, serial killers or what have you that started with animal cruelty and went from there?
Absolutely. There is a huge link between serial killers and how they started their practice of harming individuals. Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, BTK killer Dennis Rader. They're linked to serial killers, but they're also linked as beginning their lives of violence as committing acts of animal cruelty.
What do you think about that, Yolanda?
Oh, absolutely. It's true. And, you know, throughout history that's happened. And it's just common sense when you think about it. I mean, sometimes you really don't need someone to give you data or statistics or research. I think it's common sense that people who abuse animals, who have no respect for a creature or compassion or empathy for a creature that is helpless and dependent on you, I think it's pretty realistic to realize that if you're going to be cruel to that animal, that would follow through in your relationships with other people. And it also starts very young. That is one of the problems and the challenges, is that this can happen very early on in a child's development.
Is there any organizations that help with this, or is there any way of, like, identifying it before it gets too far?
Well, I think that there are some organizations. I know that there is an effort to collaborate. I know that there are shelters and there are law enforcement and various groups who are trying to work together, and I think that that communication can certainly help.
What do you think about that, Leslie?
Absolutely. There are organizations that individuals can begin to involve themselves on a local level to start making a difference in their community, like the SPCA, also the Dallas Animal Services, because you mentioned earlier about how people can connect with local agencies to make a difference. And those are just two that people can begin to connect with by donating or volunteering or adopting from their shelters instead of purchasing online for animals. Those are huge ways to start really making an impact locally, which is where you're going to see the greatest impact.
Yeah, like for like the SPCA and what have you, you can dedicate your time and talent as well as you can donate your money. You know, I mean, you don't have to spend the time. You can spend the money, as well as you can also give them, you know, new clean pet beds, food, bowls, you know, for food, all kinds of stuff, because they're always in need of that sort of items, because they have to take care of so many animals.
Right. And also, you were speaking with Yolanda about the puppy mill bill. And on the SPCA website, they have
information for individuals to find out how to spot those types of situations and report them for investigation. They do have investigators that will help try to bring an end to animal cruelty when they're reported.
That's great, because I got a dog when I was a lot younger. I guess it was my freshman year in college, and had to put the dog to sleep within a month. And these people had a puppy mill. They didn't care about the dogs. They didn't care about the conditions. And I had no idea. I was young and, you know, naive. And now you know, but, you know, it was all upsetting. It was very upsetting to my friends and my family and everything else. But we tried to stop those people. It was a lot more difficult then. But I think that with more numbers now, we can actually do something about it.
That's true. And something that's also in the news right now with this Hurricane Isaac, people have to plan for their animals in disaster situations.
Oh, that's an interesting concept.
You don't want to just let your animal roam the neighborhood while you evacuate. And there are sometimes shelters that are set up for humans and animals, or sometimes just animals. And it's really hard to part with your pet, but during a disaster, you have to consider everyone's life.
That's right. We learned some tough lessons during Katrina.
We did.
Mm-hmm. That was awful. I mean, weren't they not allowed to take some of their dogs? That's right.
They actually made people leave their animals behind, and you just can't do that. People don't want to leave their animals. They're like family members in many instances. And so now we've learned those lessons, and now there are programs, and cities and states have to plan for these sorts of things.
Yolanda, you were talking to me about an interesting program. I think it was called PrEP.
Yes, there's the Dallas Youth Village is a foundation, and one of the things that you can do to help people get comfortable with animals and not be cruel to animals is through education and training. And this is a program where young men who are juvenile offenders actually train rescue dogs for adoption. And so they go through this program and they work with a trainer, and the rescue brings the dogs, and these young men work with these dogs over several weeks, and once the dog is trained, the dog is adopted. And the young man gets a certificate that he's gone through this training. So it's a win-win situation for everyone. The young man learns how to relate to an animal, how to train a dog. He learns skills that he may be able to use in a career later on. And then the person who adopts the dog gets a totally trained and well-behaved dog.
That's awesome. What do you think about that, Leslie? I think we might have lost Leslie. I think that's an awesome program. How long has that been around?
It started in 2009.
In 2009.
And I believe they do have some really good statistics showing that it's been a very effective program and has helped these young men to grow and develop and get skills that they didn't have before.
That's amazing. See, there's always a silver lining to things, and things can change. And if we really put positive power and influence and education, and we get to understand the ways that we can change something, we can really do a difference. We can make a difference in our society. Leslie, do you have any last words for us tonight?
Actually, I do. Every now and then on the local news, you hear about animals that have been tortured or burned. I would just like to ask your listeners to be aware of their neighborhoods and where their pets are at all times. You kind of have to care for your pet like you do your child. And you want to make sure that you know where your pets are, because it's going to decrease the risk of your pet being one of the statistics of animals harmed in your neighborhood.
That's an excellent, excellent observation. Yolanda, what are your final words for this evening?
Well, I just think as a city that we need to have a no-tolerance policy on animal cruelty, from law enforcement to prosecutors to the citizens of the state. There needs to be no tolerance of animal cruelty, and we need to put all of our efforts behind making sure that it's stopped, that it's prosecuted, and that it doesn't happen.
I'm in complete compliance with Leslie and Yolanda, and I think that we've all learned a lot tonight. I've learned a lot about some opportunities and some programs, as well as the idea of writing a letter to your legislation. You know, you can start now, but they actually start from January. They got a 6 months where they're in. You can write a letter, and you can actually change some things that are going on, as well as getting involved with the SPCA, the Dallas Animal Services, as well as also getting involved with some other programs that Yolanda had mentioned as well. I think the most important thing that everybody should get out of this show is that animals are true love. They are conscious. They're just the love. They're unconditional love. They give you love. They're there for you all the time. And we need to treat those animals with respect, because the way you directly treat an animal is the way that you treat other things in your life. And it is just so important to just do the right thing by animals and by people that can't stand up. They can't stand up to people. They actually need you to provide them food, water, to provide them love. And when you provide a loving environment around you, you change everything in a more positive, wonderful light. So when you get a chance, go online to www.liveyourtruelife.org. Again, liveyourtruelife.org, and read some of the recent blogs that are up there. As well as, when you get a chance, also go to Facebook and like Live Your True Life. It's a community. It's cool. We talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about karma. We talk about animal rights. We talk about everything. And your ideas and your perspective is golden, and it's well-received, and people like to comment on it as well. Next Sunday, we got another great program, but again, this is all about creating power within your life. You are not powerless, and because you're not powerless, you have the ability to change everything. You don't have to sit back and watch it happen. You can make a change. So for tonight, for Sunday, it's good night from Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. I hope you have a great rest of your evening and have a wonderful week. Thank you so much.